Oh. It is 1930. UTC. The best time zone ever. And that means you are listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committee. And I am still pretty sick. I still have this head cold or whatever it is. And it's messing me up. It's messing me up, Pippa. And Pippa is sitting here on my lap. Well, actually, she's... Okay, now she was turning around and around, and now she actually sat down. Yeah. Yeah, you get that blankie. And so... Here's Pippa licking the blanket. It must taste pretty good. Oh, yeah, the green blanket. So yummy, huh, Pippa? Oh, man, so... Here I am. Oh. Another day into this. Man. I am kind of messed up. So that's fun. Look at all this kitty fluff flying up into the air. We should get out the brush. I'll brush Pippa later. Ugh. Look at all this kitty fluff. So, anywho... I stayed up a little bit too late last night. Yeah, not really that bad. And I got up early, though, so that's kind of weird. But I was watching more Hot Wheels cars restorations. This guy, he was buying classic Hot Wheels cars that were, you know, basically junk, and then he was restoring them, and I thought that was kind of neat. I'd rather watch that than watch real cars get restored. So that was interesting. And then I started to watch, how do I put this? There's this one magician on YouTube, and I know you're thinking, okay, here we go. Well, yes and no. Regular listeners might remember that I do have an appreciation of magic. But the funny thing is I don't really watch magic on YouTube, because the vast majority of magic on YouTube just sort of depends on that horrible camera angle and stuff like that. So you're not really seeing, when you watch magic on YouTube, you're not really seeing examples of sleight of hand skill necessarily, which is what I'm into. What you are seeing is people who are being clever with cameras. And so that's just one of the reasons why I don't watch magic. And so, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. But there's this one magician who likes to work on puzzles, and I will watch some of that stuff. I will watch him try to solve puzzles, because I find that a little bit more interesting than watching him try to, you know, do magic tricks. He's actually pretty good, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of bad magic out there. And so I was going to watch one of this guy's puzzle videos, and then notice he had a new video up about something else. Basically, it's a video of him reacting to bad magic on YouTube. And I thought, oh, okay, this ought to be funny. So I watched it. So I watched that video, and it was mildly humorous. I'm drinking hot tea again today. Oh. Then, of course, after I watched that video, YouTube suggested some other videos. by this same guy, and one of the videos was the greatest cardistry something something. And I appreciate cardistry, so I watched the video and I thought, okay, yeah, there's some inspiring stuff there, and there are some really young kids who are exceptionally good at some of this stuff. Now, if you don't know what cardistry is, I suggest you look it up on YouTube. But don't expect to see any magic tricks. Cardistry came about in an interesting way. The reason that cardistry exists is it's a backlash from sleight of hand. See, the funny thing is you can be a magician and you can study sleight of hand for years and you can become a master of sleight of hand. But the weird thing is you can't tell anybody about it. You know, you can't tell anybody, ooh, I'm a master of sleight of hand. Because, you know, then you're giving away how you're doing your little magic tricks. And so when you're a magician, yeah, you can create all these brilliant magical effects, but you can never actually, you can't ever show anybody your skills in sleight of hand. You know, so sleight of hand is a discipline in which you spend, excuse me, hold on. Oh, I can't go more than 2 or 3 minutes without coughing and gagging. Maybe I should not do the show for a couple weeks here. Try to heal. But what I'm trying to get at is, a magician can spend 10 years mastering sleight of hand, but he can never show anybody his moves. He cannot show off this skill that took, you know, 20,000 hours to master. Because that would just be giving away, you know, sleight of hand secrets. And that's unusual for that amount of skill. I mean, anybody else who spends that much time learning a skill, like a musician or something, that's all they do is show off their skill. A magician can't do this directly. And that's why and how cardistry got invented. Cardistry is just the art of manipulating cards. Not to any end, but just for visual effect. And so, this came about so that so cardistry came about as a way to showcase just card manipulation, but card manipulation that has no purpose. It's just for show. It's just for looking at. It's like, look how I can hold these cards. Isn't this interesting? Well, yeah, kind of. And so that's how cardistry came into existence. Oh my God, I am not doing well. But I respect cardistry. Just don't mistake any of these people for magicians. And so I was watching this one video and I did see some good stuff. And I was like, wow. And then the next video that YouTube suggested for me was the same guy reacting to the greatest coin magic. Well, I watched this coin magic video, and most of this video were basically the same trick being done in different ways, specifically with a gimmicked coin. The only other trick we saw was another real common trick that it's like, geez, dude, seriously, you haven't seen that before? I even do that one. And here's this guy, he's a professional magician, who's being blown away by a coin gimmick. dude, that's not good magic. That's just somebody who bought a coin. And the funny thing is here's this guy being impressed. And he's like, oh my God, that really fooled me. Are you serious, dude? And this video was maybe like 10 routines from six different guys, all with the same coin gimmick. And they were, you know, all around the world. One guy was in India, one guy was in Japan, one guy was in Macau or Hong Kong, and the other guy was in Canada. And it made me mad, because it's like, come on, dude, you shouldn't be impressed by this. Anybody who can afford that coin can do that magic trick. You're not seeing skill there. What you are seeing is, you know, a gimmick. It's the coin. And now I'm kind of, at first I was like, gee, I kind of want one of those. Because I do like to do coin magic, but I like to do coin magic with borrowed coins. If you can't borrow a coin from somebody, the coin is always suspect. And you know, it's always really suspect when a magician pulls out like a Morgan silver dollar or a Walking Liberty half. It's like, come on, these coins are not in circulation. 99.99% of the population has never seen this coin before. What are you doing using it? That makes it so suspicious. It's like the old scotch and soda trick. You've probably seen scotch and soda. If you haven't, you can probably see it on YouTube. But the first time I saw scotch and soda, I thought, okay, well, that's pretty good, except it's so suspect because here you are using a pre-decimalization English penny. We're in America. Where did you even get that coin? Blah, 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 blah. Things get suspect really fast. And so that's why I kind of don't like that kind of stuff. I would rather watch pure sleight of hand, because pure sleight of hand is skill. That's skill and not, you know, rigged things. Which brings me to another subject. Don't get me wrong. If you use, you know, rigged stuff sparingly, it can be impressive, especially if you are using this in tandem with actual skill. Because if you can, like, blur the line between what's skill and what is automatic, you know, you can pull off some pretty tasty illusions. You can really mess with people's heads. So, there you have it. Oh my God, I'm not doing well at all. Every 4 minutes I have this coughing fit that you are not hearing. But it's taking me a long time to get this done. Anywho, another thing that bothers me, and the reason I bring this up is because I was watching some more of this guy's videos, and he started talking about decks of cards. And I watched two videos about decks of cards, and he made an utter fool out of himself. He was comparing a $200 deck of cards specifically made for doing magic and so this guy decides he's going to review and compare and contrast a $200 deck of cards specifically made for magic and sleight of hand and blah 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 and your basic $3 pack of bicycle rider backs. So he blindfolds himself and has his friend hand him one of the cards, and he's just going to manipulate the cards blindfolded to see if he can tell the difference between the cheap $3 deck of cards and the $200 secret magician cards. So he's got his blindfold on. The assistant hands him the $3 deck of, you know, blue rider backs. And the guy grabs them and he starts working them and instantly says, "Oh yeah, I can tell right off the bat. These are quality cards. Oh my God, they're so good. Oh, they feel so good. These are obviously the $200 magician cards." And this is completely embarrassing because he's holding the same deck of cards that anybody in the world can buy at any grocery store or drugstore. Bicycle rider backs. It was horrendous, but this should tell you one thing. Never buy a deck of cards that costs super tons of money just because, oh, it's specifically for magicians and it's good. Well, no, it's not good. It's just a regular deck of cards with a fan back. It's a deck of cards for fanning. And you should never, ever use a fan deck because nobody in the world has ever seen a fan deck except for magicians and people who go into magic stores. So if you whip out a fanning deck and try to tell somebody, this is a regular deck of cards, even though it is a regular deck of cards because it has a fan back, nobody's ever seen this kind of card before, and so there's no way anybody's going to believe that this is a regular deck of cards. And that's why you use something like bicycle rider backs, because everybody has seen them, everybody owns them, there's no suspicion whatsoever. And that's why you always use a good normal deck of cards, a good normal deck of cards like rider backs. Now, me personally, I also like tally-hos. And of course, if you're a regular listener, you know how much I love the Bulldog Squeezers. Oh, Bulldog Squeezers, I love you, Bulldog Squeezers. Bulldog Squeezers are the deck for me. Yeah, when I was a kid, my signature deck was Fox Lake, of course. Till I got old enough to be able to afford good cards. Then, of course, red rider backs. But secretly, deep down, it's Bulldog Squeezers for Tobe. Remember that. Bulldog Squeezers. But I digress. So this guy makes another video about some other decks of cards. And some famous magician is putting out his own signature line of cards. Well, that's problematic too, because these cards don't have a standard back, so they don't look like any cards that any human being has ever seen before. And that's mighty suspicious, because yes, these cards are marked. And I was kind of impressed because, well, it's a new marking system and it's clever, and I thought, okay, that's clever, I will hand you that. But the problem here is that that back of on that card doesn't look like anything anybody's ever seen before. And traditional certain types of marked cards have been made like other common decks, like a B deck. You know what a B back looks like? The best deck marked deck I've ever seen uses a B back, and that'll fool everybody all the time. But then again, if you're a good magician, what are you doing using marked cards? If you can manipulate cards well enough, you got no reason to mark them. So I thought that was kind of cheesy. And especially since these cards were, you know, being marketed by, you know, Mr. Famous Magician, whose name you would recognize, but I don't want to say because I do not actually want to disparage him at this point. And it just... if there's one thing I hate, it's a trick deck. Now, when I say a trick deck, I mean something very specific. I don't mean a gaffed deck. What's the difference? Well, when I say a gaffed deck, I mean something like a stacked deck or a shaved deck or a Svengali deck. Or something of that nature. That is a gaffed deck. A trick deck is one of those decks of cards that you often find in the strangest places. You don't find these in magic shops. You will find these in bookstores. You know, sometimes with a book in the magic section. Or you can find these in drugstores or hospital gift shops. Just the weirdest places, okay? And a trick deck is one of those decks where it's pretty much an entire self-working card routine. Where somebody who has one of these decks can read the instructions and then proceed to do an entire card routine with this, you know, $10 deck of cards. Now, this is not a normal deck of cards. This is this is a deck of cards that's been specifically stacked in a certain way, and all kinds of other things are done to it so that you can kind of do this self-working routine. And the problem with these decks of cards is, of course, that nobody can ever inspect the cards. You can sit there and say, oh, yeah, this is a perfectly normal deck of cards, but you can't shuffle it because you're going to throw the order. You can't do anything with it. And 9 times out of 10, actually 99 times out of 100, this deck is not made by a card manufacturer. This is printed by somebody else, and so this is real low quality stuff, and they're often weird sizes, and the backs never look like anything anybody's ever seen before. They're just sort of novelties. And that's what I want to say. This is the kind of deck of cards you could get out of the back of a comic book. It's a novelty thing. Novelty companies carry them. And every once in a while I come across one of these. Somebody gives me one, or I find one for a dollar in a dollar store or something like that, and I will buy it in case I ever need to give something to anybody. Because whereas I do not recommend these for anybody with any skill, a deck like this can encourage a child to get into magic. If a child can learn how to use one of these types of decks, they can become interested in actual sleight of hand, and you can actually teach them some real stuff. So, last night, when I was watching this video of this guy reviewing these two decks by a famous magician, actually, this one deck was kind of cool. It was actually the marked deck, but I wasn't impressed by the markings. I was impressed by one other feature that was really neat. And I thought, oh, now I got to spend $30 on that damn deck of cards just for that one little feature, but I still don't want to do it because the stupid backs are blah, and I'm so mad at myself. And then suddenly I realize, hey, wait a minute. Don't I have one of those decks by this famous magician guy? Because I was remembering back to, didn't somebody give me one of these? And I just went, oh, thanks. And I threw it on a pile of other cards because I would never use it. So I went down into my basement, went over to the card shelves. Yes, there are multiple shelves of decks of cards. Oh my God, I have so many decks of cards. It's embarrassing. People must think I'm psychotic. No, nobody ever sees them, so. Yeah, so I got to spend 10 minutes digging through a couple hundred decks of cards, and I finally find this thing. And I have it right here. Transformation deck. Bicycle. Instantly change an entire deck before someone's eyes. And then, you know, the famous name of the magician here. Transformation deck. Now, here's the weird thing is, you can go to any real magic shop and buy gaffed bicycle decks. Hell, I get mine straight from the source. But then when you read the back here, this is not just a deck of cards, but a powerful illusion capable of mystifying even skeptics. This Svengali deck, ding, 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 This Svengali deck will allow spectators to see all the cards as different and select one. And then you keep reading this and you go, oh, it's just a Svengali deck. So this stupid famous magician guy is just selling a Svengali deck. And then when you open up the package and you get the deck of cards out, it looks like a regular bicycle deck of cards. Except they're called split spades. That should give you a hint as to what's going on here. Not to mention that hint on the back where they said, this Svengali deck, why would you come right out and say it? But the bad news is, the back of the deck of cards is an original design, probably by the famous magician himself. And so it doesn't look like a regular bicycle deck of cards. Because what's the stupid thing is, you can just go out and buy... You can just go out and buy a bicycle Svengali deck. They're about $15. Well, they were $15 the last time I bought one. You know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. Yeah, I do wear them out sometimes. You can mess people up with a Svengali deck. So it turns out, though, that this just isn't a Svengali deck. It's half a Svengali deck. And this is the thing that's kind of clever about it. Half of it's Svengali, half of it's something else that I'm not going to go into. But it's cute. It's one of those trick decks. I don't even know if I'm going to bother to learn the routine. I doubt that I will. Because I don't want to be associated with this famous magician who thinks he's much cooler than he actually is. But yeah, so here's the little pamphlet that comes with the deck of cards that shows you how to do this whole little routine. And it's not that good of a routine, and the thing about it the thing I hate about it the most is that it uses non-standard techniques. They specifically have to teach you how to let cards fall. You got to do this weird thing that looks totally unnatural and very suspicious to get some of these effects to work. So maybe I'll just try to rework it, or maybe just do my own thing with it. I don't know. I feel like death warmed over. I feel a little bit feverish today. Speaking of bad card tricks, as I was watching some snooker highlights, and I actually saw a guy do something with an invisible deck, a specific kind of gaffed deck. And it was funny. It was a clever use of the concept, but he was so bad at it. And his setup was so terrible that it was real cringeworthy. It was a groan. And then people, even though he was terrible at this, people still had their minds blown. And I was like, oh my God, how stupid are you? But that's neither here nor there. There's a lot of bad magic out there, but there's some good stuff out there if you know where to look. If you really want to know, I can guide you. But right now, I gotta go. My name is Tobe. You have been listening to the Dubious, God Damn I Am Sick Committee, a show that airs every day at 19:30 UTC right here on Anon Radio. I gotta get out of here. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but blah. Okay, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.